Good morning and welcome. It's always good to be gathered here in God's house, and God has given us a glorious day. I don't know how many of you folks were affected by the heat, but I'm pretty durable as far as being a positive guy. And I was telling folks that during the day it would feel like somebody sucked all the fun right out of me during the day. Just one of those things. But today's a day where we're going to talk about baptism. We're going to talk about living the life of that Jesus would want us to live. We're going to do some fellowship. We're going to do church work. And so it's a great and blessed day, and this truly is the day that the Lord has made. And our responsive reading is called The Joy of Worship. It's 703 in your red hymnal. 703. I'll read the light part, y'all read the dark. 703. If you don't have a hymnal, raise your hand. We'll get you one. Everybody got one floating around? Okay. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for the joy to the living God.
Even a sparrow finds a home, and a swallow a nest for herself.
Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place for springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed.
For again your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Amen. Join with me in prayer. Father, we are so blessed to be able to come and worship openly and freely. We thank you and praise you for this day and every day. We thank you for the coolness. We thank you for the breeze that always flows through this pavilion out here. We thank you for this magnificent sanctuary that you provide each week. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the opportunity to come in and share in your ministry, to be a useful tool in your toolbox. We pray, Lord, not just for healing and for things of our needs, but we pray that we'll hear your need, that we'll step aside from the things that hold us back and help us move forward and do your work. For the more that we give, the more that we get. We ask, Father, that you bless us all and bless us much, Lord, as we do your work and act as we move forward each day to be a minister and a witness and a role model for you and your son, Jesus. And now, Father, as we come in and we're renewed and lifted up, we gather together in the prayer that your son, Jesus, taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
One more thing that I forgot to talk about. is some of the other pastors in the area and myself are going to put together churches in Brimfield, Holland, Wales, maybe Munson along with it. But if you know of a church in the area that's changed the pastor or you have contact information, I was hoping Rich would come to Bible study today. I need to get a hold of the priest. We're going to come together and we're going to work as a group for hungry in the area. The food bank has some issues. Karen has worked soup kitchens and food banks before. If you've got some background or a heart for that type of thing, you're welcome to come and be part of this program. We're going to try to put together resources with the churches in the area to help feed the folks that have needs in the area. We do some of that on our own, but if we combine resources and work together along with the local food bank here in Wales, I think we'll be very powerful. And the need seems to be growing every week. Heather gets more folks coming in, and she has limited resources. We'll continue service with 733. We have a story to tell to the nations. First and last verses, 733.
We've a story to tell to the nations that you'll turn their hearts to the right. The story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. How the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to new daylight, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. The Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great people might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great King shall come to earth, the kingdom of God and light.
Amen. May be seated. Our farmer's market got an unexpected boost this week. Buck's going to be picking up the farmer's market stuff from our wholesaler, and we went to McNuck's to pick up a load. And therefore, they always take good care of us. And we were there and we loaded this week's load and he gave me the slip for it. And I said to him, hey, I gotta get together with you, because he wasn't in for the last couple of weeks. I said, I owe you for the last 2 weeks plus this one. And he said, well, tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you the last 2 weeks, because I went to a bankruptcy sale for Hannaford's, was moving stores, and he felt like I was stealing their stuff because I bought it so cheap. So I want to make you folks a gift of the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
So the farmer's market picked up a little over a $200 boost.
Wow.
And they have a very giving heart. The folks down there work with us on a regular basis. Folks are going to take our offering, and you know, I want to talk a little bit about who guides your ship and how you guide it. So one of those interesting things, there's bumper stickers you'll see that says, Christ, you know, Christ is my co-pilot. And my thought is, what you ought to do is slide over and let Christ be the pilot.
Amen.
It would make the rest a whole lot easier. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it. And speaking of crashes, Charlie, there was this family and they were out and they're riding along, and four of them in the car plus a monkey. And they're riding along and they get into an accident and the police come. And the mother and the father and the two children are unconscious. But the monkey's alive and he's jumping up and down. So the police are still talking about what's going on, you know, how did this accident happen? And finally, they get the idea that the monkey wants to participate. So they talk to the monkey. And they said, well, what was going on? What was the father doing? And the monkey goes, and they go, oh, father was drinking. Said, what was the mother doing? And the monkey goes, the mother was talking. Said, what were the children doing? And the monkey goes, and they said, the children were fighting. And the police said, well, what were you doing? And the monkey went. Some days you just gotta figure out who's in charge of where you're going. Where you're going. And if God really is your pilot, not your co-pilot, your direction will always be spot on.
Right.
Even if you're lost, you'll be lost for a reason so that you can witness or help somebody else along the way. Ushers will receive the morning offering. Bless us each and every day. You help us on our way. You help us to find the help that we need. You lift us up and carry us when we're too tired. We ask, Father, that you bless these gifts as well as the giver, that you help there be wisdom used in their use so that we can expand your ministry, so that more will come, so that none will be lost. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Do we have children? Children, children. One children.
When was the last time your mom said, go wash your hands for dinner?
Last night.
Or your dad? Did they ever tell you dinner? Or did you just on that? Okay. They have to tell you. And when was the last time she said, let me check and see? Are they clean? Did your mom ever have to do that? Oh, you're good. But I know my sons, I would say, let me check. And they'd have to go back in. And they'd come out a second time. Usually they thought they could, you know, if I just sent them in, that would be enough. And they'd think that I'd wash, that they'd wash their hands. And I figured out that they weren't doing that. So I said, let me see them again. Sometimes I would have to ask them, did you use soap? Did you turn on the water? All that good stuff. Because they tried to get away without doing any of that. Sometimes they would get in the shower and turn the shower on and stand underneath it so they wouldn't get wet. Has anyone ever said to you, let me see your heart? The only person that can say that is God. And God already knows how clean and how clean he is. When we get baptized, when we ask to be baptized, what we're doing is we are saying to the world, I'm asking Jesus to cleanse my heart. When I go down, I'm a sinner. When I come up, I'm accepting that Jesus cleaned my heart and he made me clean. It's nothing that anybody else could see except when you come up out of the water. And when you come out of that water, hopefully you've made that commitment and now you're going to live a life that is different. You're not going to be, when your mom says, go wash your hands, you're not going to go in there and just turn on the water, let it run, and not really wash your hands. Okay. You never going to know. You would do that anyway. But you're not going to do stuff like that anymore, right? You're going to do what pleases God. But how do you know what pleases God? He'll tell you. What's he going to tell you? In here, all you got to do is look. He's got some eyelid already. See, God's already talking there. Other stuff, you still, God's really talking. You could do that. You could go to somebody else's Bible and look through and see all the stuff that God's telling people to do. God will tell you through his word. All you have to do is read it. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you give us your word. I thank you, Jesus, that you're willing to cleanse us because we don't deserve to be cleansed. We do so much that's wrong, Lord, and we just don't deserve your forgiveness. I thank you that you give it to us willingly, and that you offer your wisdom and your help to help us live a life that's pleasing to you. Lord, I ask that you would help us to remember that you're always there to help us, always there to guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 There you go, my dear.
Thank you. I'll take a minute and talk to God. I'll lift up some prayer requests and some thanks for answered prayer. You know, we've got folks here that we prayed for that are back in the church again. And Faith and Linda are doing very, very well. If you get a chance and you're in Springfield, make sure you stop at Bay State. Stop by Missy Hagen and say hello. She'll be there for a while. But we have lots of things to be thankful for. You can see the hand of God in the last few weeks on our people and on friends and family that across the area for things like, you know, answered prayer for people looking for vehicles and all of a sudden a vehicle appears. People need a job and then a job appears. And so we are blessed and blessed mightily. Now join with me in prayer and then I will stop and you folks can pray if you like, praise if you like, or just take a few minutes and hear God in the quiet. Father, we come together and we lift up Missy and she recovers from her car accident, and we're so prayerful and thankful for the work that you've done with Linda and Faith, that they're doing better, that they're upright and walking, and that they're getting around with less attachments. Father, we pray for strength and healing for them. We're thankful for the work that you do with Bob and Judy and Alma and Charlie and all the folks that have Parkinson's. They keep coming up, Father. You're blessing us with more and more treatments for these types of things. The prayers for our cancer warriors. Terry and Jeannie's sisters Ruth is doing better, Father. We thank you that all of her tumors are shrinking. Charlie Roberts is doing well. Roger Courboy continues to receive treatment. Reverend Bob Wellner is still preaching your word, Father. Now, Bob and his wife are powerful, powerful representatives for you. We thank you and praise you for, you know, Karen's friend Dee and her husband. We pray for Jacob, who really needs your healing hand on him and the doctors and nurses that treat him. His fight is very, very tough, Father, and we ask that you put your hand on him and do the miracle, that you heal him and lift him up. We thank you for baby Luke's progress, for Angelica Ward's progress. We thank you for all our grandchildren, folks like Riley, who keeps picking up a bug, but you bless her and restore her to health, and she moves on again. We pray for Alexis as she waits for her surgery, and we ask blessings on all of our children and our children that are on the way. We lift up Kelly and Nate and Hannah and her family as she waits for this new little boy to show up. We thank you and praise you for the anticipation of the new grandchild for Joel and Gail, and we just am blessed every time, Father, that new little children come into the world. We're thankful for Kit and Rich, who have had good results. We're thankful for Rich's intensity that he just, you know, he showed up yesterday and continues to battle on, and, you know, he battles on from the surgery, caught food poisoning this past weekend. You know, we lifted him up again in prayer, but he continues to go forward. Tom's sister's doing better. Kelly Moran needs a new doctor, Father, needs your hand on her to cure that Lyme disease and take away the symptoms. We're thankful for Rick, Jeannie's husband, that he's doing well. We're thankful for Karen, that some of her medication's working better. We're thankful for Colt Colville's recovery. We're glad that Jackie's here and she's starting to wear out the shoes of both of her feet, and rather than just having that one worn off. We pray a prayer of thanks for Gail and Joel going on vacation and coming back safe. And now, Father, we lift up all our other prayer requests.
Just to add to the prayer for Jacob, say that the situation is harrowing, understate it, and just pray that the experimental medication that he's now on will turn a corner. And I pray for Kelly to have a wonderful and successful birth.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that your body was dead. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. He will give liberally and upbraideth not. He won't ever say, why are you asking me that? He's a loving Father, and he'll give us the wisdom we need. I need that wisdom, and I know a lot of my brothers and sisters do, especially as we have this meeting, Lord. But we need that wisdom. We want God as our pilot. We don't want to be flying the plane. Lord, bless this church for the love and the giving and the sharing, and have us continue to do what's right when it needs to be done. We ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for everyone being here today. Thank you just for loving us. And thank you for the meeting we're going to have later on, and the blessing of the ladies getting together, Kelly's baby sprinkle, and we pray to continue to watch over all of us. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God, for all you have blessed us with, and blessed us with the bountiful garden, so Lord, that only you could produce.
Father, thank you that we can be in your sanctuary. Thank you, Lord.
all my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I thank you for answering prayer.
Thank you, dear loving God, for this beautiful day. Thank you for helping us in every way, dear God. Heal us and make us well and strong to do your will. Thank you for all our families and friends. We pray for to you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Lord, thank you for the gift of this day. I lift up Gary and Elaine to you this morning. I just ask that you bless them with the peace and happy and rest for their patient. Bring them back safely to us. And I just thank you for all the blessings in my life. Amen.
Good morning, Lord. I'd like to thank you for the exciting way that you're working in Gary and in life right now. And continue to bless them. And I ask you to bless all of us as we have our meeting today. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this beautiful, beautiful summer day, Lord. Thank you for this great country that we get to live in, Lord. Pray that you watch over all our military men and women, Lord, that are spread around the world, Lord, protecting our freedom, Lord. We do pray for peace in this world, Lord. Things are happening every day, Lord, and it's troubling, Lord. But we have peace in this world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep God safe on your trip to the beach.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your hand in the quiet breeze, your voice in the wind. We thank you for your wishes for us expressed through the actions of children. Thank you for the opportunity and the blessing of each day. I too ask prayers for safety for all our folks in uniform, that you'd hold them safe in the palm of your hand, that you'd be with the families that wait. We pray prayers for our firefighters, police, and first responders and their families as they put themselves into harm's way on others' behalfs. And now, Father, as we move forward in the service, we lift up all these prayers to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
God is from Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And then Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Reading from the Word.
Join with me in prayer. Father, we come and we ask to be inspired. We ask for you to put your hands on us and clear our thoughts so that we can firmly hear your voice, so that the message that you have that's special for each person here will not only be received, but be acted on. We pray, fathers, that we would be doers of the word, that we would be about your business, that we would devote each and every day to things that you would have us do, Father, and then all of our needs will be met. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today we're going to talk a little bit about an event that appears in all four Gospels. Every author of every Gospel found that this event was so important that it was included. It narrates the inauguration of Jesus into ministry. It was kind of his coming out party. You know, he had turned the water into wine at the wedding, but John had been preparing the way out in the desert with people coming from all over to hear John preach and to be baptized. And it's an unusual story because when you think about baptism, there doesn't seem to be a real reason for Jesus to be baptized. John even questions him. He says, "You should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you." And yes, folks, you know, if they're Christians and they'll give you an answer, they'll say, "Well, I was baptized when I was 7 years old." Being baptized is okay, but the scripture doesn't teach that it's baptism that saves you.
Amen.
You know, it's one of those things that kind of like there's a story about a town drunk that stumbled into a baptismal service one Sunday afternoon down by the river. And he walked out and he walked right into the water and the preacher grabbed him and said to him, "Mister, are you ready to find Jesus?" And the town drunk says, "Yes, preacher." The preacher dunks him under the water and brings him back up. He says, "Did you find Jesus?" The drunk says, "No." The minister said, "Okay." Dunked him back down under, held him a little bit longer. Asked him a third time, said, "Did you find Jesus?" The drunk says, I'm not too sure. He dunks him under the third time and holds him for a little bit and brings him back up. And the preacher says, "Mister, did you find Jesus?" And the drunk says, "Are you sure you left him here?" Baptism is where you find Jesus. Baptism is what you do once you found Jesus.
Amen.
Once you found him and you can't put it off anymore. When you look at my report in the annual report, you're going to read about people that we baptized and folks that were called to come back in and be rebaptized. And when you're a believer and you've heard that voice and you can't wait no more, that's the time. That's the time. I didn't pre-plan to have anybody prepare anything because I don't like to do that. But if you've been baptized and it made a difference, raise your hand. If you want to talk about it, stand up and talk about it. If you want to talk about what a difference it made or why you did it, go ahead, Howard.
I was baptized when I was 12 years old with Faith and Betty Stebbins, got that done, my brother. But I accepted Christ as my Savior at a Billy Graham rally. In those days, and I know I talk too much about those days in terms of this church, but in those days we had a youth group. And there was probably 10 or 12 kids, right? Some of Grace's children, I'm sure, were with us, Priscilla. Anyway, we decided that Billy Graham was going to do a rally in Boston and that we were going to go. But we didn't, as usual, didn't have any money. So we went by car, three or four of us, my Aunt Elsie Bowles, and I don't remember who else. But anyway, I had been involved in church all my life, so I thought, well, I don't need to do this. I'm not going to hear anything that's different. And we went to the Boston Gardens, and if any of you have ever been in the Boston Gardens, we were up in the nosebleed section.
Yeah.
And when Mr. Graham said, "We will wait for you to come down," it took us quite a while. But he waited, and God waited. And it was an amazing experience to be there and to publicly profess my faith. But I have to say, that I didn't realize at that time that accepting Christ as your Savior is just the beginning, that you're a work in progress your whole life. And believe me, I realize that I am a work in progress, and I haven't gotten there yet, but with God's help, I will.
Thank you. Amen.
Howard?
I was baptized when I was an infant, so I can't really say what that's all about. My mother and dad made that decision for me. When I was 21, I found Christ in an evangelistic church and had been asked to be baptized at that point. The two things that struck me, and to this day still do, one is they brought me, and they had to fish me out of the water a bit there to get myself back up. But the feeling when you come up out of that water changes your life. I've not forgotten it. It still makes me emotional. Mm-hmm. Christ is never more real to me than when I was baptized. Your life is different at that point. It can be nothing else but different at that point. You don't want to be who you used to be. And it's more than just a profession of faith. It's more than a public outward showing of your faith. It is a transformative event, and at least it was for me. So.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead.
Yeah. I was saved in October 4th, 1986, and 3 months later, I was baptized. And being baptized and going forward is truly making a commitment to Christ. And from that time on, I could just continue to go.
Amen.
So I thank the Lord for my salvation and being here today.
Amen. Amen. It's interesting there. One of the authors, Chuck Colson, pointed out, he said, most Westerners take baptism for granted. But in a world, the act requires immense courage. For if you're baptized in the Soviet Union, the Chinese, or some of the Eastern Bloc countries, they can be signing your own death warrant. We heard Ben talk last week about Muslims that come in and change their faith, and their family no longer has anything to do with them. They can't do business. And it was interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I was blessed, a pastor from another church in the area, whose church does not do baptism by immersion, called me and said I was with some of my other folks and asked if they knew anybody that would talk to me about baptism by immersion, because I've got a couple older folks that want to be baptized. And Dawn from the Congregational Church referred her to me. So I talked with her and told her what the process was like. And she said, I don't want to be a pain, but could you meet me at your church? And I said, sure. And we went down to Lake George and I walked her through the process. But not only did I walk her through the process, but in the process, I walked her through the entire baptism, where I asked her the questions that I asked you folks. You folks that I baptized, I asked you if you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And she said, yes. And I said, do you believe that the Lord Jesus lived on earth, walked and role modeled for us? And she said, yes. And I said, do you believe that Christ was crucified, died, and is heaven preparing a place for you? And she said, yes. And I folded her hands and I said, now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I lowered her down into the water and brought her back up out. And she stood for a minute and she looked at me and she said, that's really different. And I said, it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. But it was, you know, and I baptized, you know, over the years, a lot of different folks. But baptism is a outward display of faith. It's lowering into the water is the essence of a funeral act. It's an act of faith where we testify to God, but it says the old life has gone away, the new life has begun. All your sins are forgiven. You can start anew. And the scripture has lots of it. And, you know, when you think of comparing things, you know, a wedding ring is an outward sign that you're married. A military uniform is an outward sign that you're involved with a particular branch of the service. Water baptism is a symbol designed by God to identify a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ. In Galatians it says, when we're saved, we're spiritually baptized and into his body of the church. Corinthians talks about baptism as an outward representation of inward realities. Baptism is a very special way of God communicating his love for us. But when Christ was baptized, it was interesting that, and I was talking to folks in the church today, that I did some work on the customs of baptism. And in Christ's day, the Jews had gone through cycles, when you read the Old Testament, of being very blessed. And the author compared it to being a Red Sox fan, for you Red Sox fan. That when the season is you're very blessed, everybody wants to be a Red Sox fan. The Jews are very blessed and they're doing business and God's got their hand on them. And non-Jews, the Gentiles, want to become Jews. So they go through a format where they have to deny their other religion and they have to be circumcised. And for the men that converted, that was, you know, pretty big chore. You know, if you're a baby and you're getting circumcised, you don't remember many of that. If you're my age and you're gonna go be circumcised, that kind of takes a little bit of thinking because you're gonna be laid up for a while. But that was their process for them to come over and have a new life as a Jew. It was an impulse thing, you know, where they didn't see a magazine ad at the checkout line at Lowe's and said, it's time for your extreme Jewish makeover. Now, and baptism's the same way. Baptism's one of those things that's a game changer. And every time that we have a service, last year we did a lot of baptisms, this year we're working towards a church picnic, and I'd like to do it at the end of the month, but I'm not sure if we have the facilities available due to the park closings and that kind of stuff to pull that off this year. But if folks are out there that would, you know, want to be baptized, rebaptized, or, you know, want to do a profession of faith, we'll find a nice clean spot for you to do it. In worst case, I have friends with swimming pools that we can do the baptism in. We've done baptisms in the middle of the winter in hot tubs. So there's, you know, no reason not to go do it. But baptism is a walk that Jesus did to fulfill Scripture.
Amen.
It was a fulfillment of the Scripture that Jesus would be baptized. Symbolically, it was God's hand. You know, you got to understand, Jesus comes and be baptized. Now, people are being baptized all day long. Jesus is the only one that when he's baptized, this voice comes down from heaven and says, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. So when you are a Christian and you are a believer, it's part of your identity. It's part of your walk. For every time that you go to a baptism, it's a renewal of faith. It's interesting, there's a movie called Brother, Where Art Thou? And in the movie, convicts escape and they wind up at a baptismal service down at a river. And that's just a movie. But every time I watch that and we get to the baptism part, it reminds me of being a little guy up on top of Florida Mountain and walking down to the river. And, you know, and I'm too little to see what's going on, so you got to kind of look between the people's legs and under their arms and that kind of stuff to watch people walking out into the water and being baptized in the cold water and being resurrected again. And so this is the walk. It's the walk we walk every day so that when you get up, you know that you're a child of the Most High God. You know that God's got nothing but good things planned for you. You know that God's going to walk with you and carry you through the day. You know that you have the strength to be a overcomer. That whatever the bump in the road is, being baptized and being a Christian doesn't mean you won't have those bumps.
That's right.
Doesn't mean the bumps are still there. It just means we've got a better shock absorber to get over it. We've got that ride. You remember the old Ford truck rides where they put the eggs in the wheels of the Ford truck and drove it down the road and then got out and cracked the eggs? That's better, not as good as God's ride, but that's the ride we've got. We've got that ride where our eggs may get jostled, but God won't let them break or crack. So this day is a day of renewal. This day is the day that you've got to be not just committed, but recommit. That's why I asked you to go back to when you were baptized, because everybody's baptism is different. Everybody's baptism brings back different memories. It was interesting watching Betty's baptism talk, where she looks, she says to Grace, "I know some of your daughters were there. I know these people were here." Howard's baptism, you know, I was baptized when I was in my 20s. And, you know, it changed me, and you know, and Jackie's baptism, and everybody's here's baptism is different. And some of us have been baptized more than once. Sometimes we've been baptized and rededicated. But you got that do-over. You got that God that loves you unconditionally and waits for you to come back on board if you've been away. If you haven't been away, God says, "You've been playing for me on a regular basis. I'd like to take you off the bench all the time. I don't want you just for a quarter. I want you for the whole game now. Now I want you for the game from start to finish. I'll give you some breathers along the way to get a lemonade and refresh yourself, but I want you to play the whole game." Because God will give you the opportunity to play old school football, where you play offense and defense. Amen. It'll give you the opportunity to be more than you ever thought you could be. So this day, walk on faith and not by sight. Walk with the faith that you had when you were baptized. Rise up and be the person that God intended you to be. And all God's people said,
amen.
I don't know what a closing hymn is. Do you get?
We get the communion.
Oh, we got communion. That's right, too. It's communion Sunday. Hang on. I need to change over and do the communion call to worship. You got a bulletin that's good?
769.
I think that's the right one this time, Howard.
We can only hope.
769, communion, call of service, call to worship. I'll read the light part, y'all read the dark. We have one Lord, one God, one Savior.
The Holy Spirit makes Christ real to us, binding us in one, and we share him together.
This is something we do eagerly.
Christ welcomes us here.
This is something we do seriously.
For this is the moment of greatest intimacy, when we take the symbols of the body and blood of the risen Lord.
I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us come into the presence of the Lord." Amen. And we will join together and sing 776. Let us break bread together. 776.
On our communion Sundays, we take an offering called the Deacon's Fund. The deacons do outreach work for folks in need, whether they're part of our church community or not. You know, folks that are having a hard time, talk to me or one of the deacons, and we'll try to provide them some relief. We'll try and provide them the love and light of Jesus Christ that they may have never seen. We'll now receive the Deacon's Fund offering. Bless this offering and bless it mightily, as this might be the opening door for us to find another soul that needs to be saved and be joined into your army. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you turn to the back of your hymnal, you'll find the church covenant. It should be right in the back of the hymnal. We'll read this in unison. Reading,
having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God, in this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into this covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to sustain its worship, and promise to attend public worship faithfully, and promise to engage in whatever church work we are able to do. We will promote its prosperity and spirituality, and contribute cheerfully and regularly to support its ministry, relieving the poor, and spread the gospel through all nations. We also pledge to maintain family and private devotions, the religious education of our children in the Christian faith, and will endeavor sincerely and earnestly to live as Christ taught his followers to live. When we leave this community, we will, as soon as possible, unite in some other church, where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word.
Amen. Join with me in prayer. Father, we ask you to bless this time, that this time of communion would be a time of rededication and renewal of all the things that we know that God wants us to be. We pray, Father, that we'll all ask to be better tools, not ask what, Father, but ask to be better tools and see a need and just go do it. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to share in this communion service. We thank you for this special fellowship time that you, Jesus, taught us how to utilize, that you gave us the new communion of faith so that we as Christian believers could share in your broken body and your shed blood in remembrance of the unselfish act that you did so that we could have and share in eternal life. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus had gathered with his disciples, and they partook of Passover, the holiest of holy Jewish holidays. And when they had eaten, and were at the end, were relaxing, Jesus takes and girds himself. Kind of does what you do with kids. He said, I've told you what I'm going to tell you. I've told you the message. Now I'm going to show you one more time. He girds himself and bends to and lowers and washes the feet of his disciples. And they're horrified because their master would do that. But he wanted one more time to have the opportunity to tell them, I came as a servant, Messiah, as you should be a servant. And Jesus takes and he breaks the bread. And he said, this is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. We now share with you the bread.
Broken body of Christ. Take, eat, and be very thankful. Likewise, Jesus takes the cup. Says, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. We now share with you the gift of life. Mm-hmm. Life abundant, life eternal. The shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed blood of Christ. Take, drink, and be very thankful. Scripture in Mark says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out. We're going to sing 542. If you have a prayer request, raise your hands, step out in the aisle. My deacons will float through. I'll be down front. As you sing, think about your renewal. Think about the week past and the week ahead. Think about all the folks that you've taken communion with over the years. It's interesting, you know, when you think about being baptized and all the folks that you were baptized with. I know at New Year's Eve when we have, or Christmas Eve when we have the candlelight service, when we do Maundy Thursday service and Good Friday, I'll sit and think about everybody that's been in the pews over the years that I've worshiped with up on the hill and when I was in the Army on the road and all the folks in the church down here. So as we close this service, as we sing 542, think about renewal, think about change, think about the things that you were meant to be that you can still be. 542, near to the heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, set him from the heart of God. Hold it before thee, near to the heart of God. Is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we are saved, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, set from the heart of God, who holds great before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless Redeemer, set from the heart of God, hold us to wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
And now that this service is over, our real service. We ask, Father, that you lift us up, that you renew our spirit, fill us with strength, fill us with enthusiasm, help us to move forward through each day, being your tool, doing your work, being a blessing to everyone that we come in contact with. And now, Father, we ask that you help us to be more than we were when we came into the service, help us to move through the business meeting, help us to move through the rest of the day, glorifying and praising you and doing your work. And all God's people said,
amen.